Welcome to Climb Your Mountain, the only podcast that teaches you how to use coaching, neuroscience, and mindfulness to overcome life's challenges. I'm Sarah Maurer, a certified life and performance coach, breathwork facilitator, and trance geek. Each week, I show you how to change your brain fast, for good, and without struggle. Whether you're training to climb an actual mountain, building a business, dating, or planning a fucking rebellion, these tools will help. Listen and learn so you can enjoy more of what you want. Happiness, fun, connection, creativity, courage, and the occasional mountaintop moment. Ready? Let's do this. Ah, hello, my dope-ass people. I am doing okay. I am hanging in there. If you've been following my life on Instagram, it has been quite a week. I will fill you in just because I think like having had like a really intense, hectic week with a lot of stuff going wrong is very relevant to the topic this podcast is going to be about today. So just to fill you in, this week was supposed to kind of be my catch-up week after being on vacation, and I was really looking forward, especially to Wednesday. I'm like, ah, that's the day when I'll get to catch up on lots of stuff. There's no coaching clients. There's no work meetings. Like, it's really a nice open day for me. I was like living for Wednesday, so excited. So Wednesday comes, and three insane things all happen on Wednesday. So I'm going to try to describe this concisely. First of all, I find out, and this is kind of a stressful thing, but also kind of a good thing. I find out that I've been like working to move my mom to a new assisted living because she was in an assisted living that was pretty good. We really liked it, actually. It was family owned, nice people, nice staff, house manager was live in, very responsive. And then this nice family company sold all their homes without telling us. We had like 2 weeks notice of this. They sold all of them to like a corporation, and the corporation like has been a nightmare. They are just not following my mom's care plan. I feel like the homes are very understaffed. They're using a lot of like agency people coming in that don't know the residents or the families. And with my mom, she has depression and anxiety as well as Alzheimer's. So it's really important for her to be engaged, to get up every morning, to move around, to participate in meals and activities and talk to people. And it kind of got to the point where this house, no matter what we did, was just like letting her stay in bed all day. So even after her doctor like wrote it as an order, they're like, she cannot eat in her room. That's not safe anyway. She needs to come out and be eating at the table with the other people. They still wouldn't follow it. So I've been like, oh my gosh, financially, every time you move to a new assisted living, if you are on a Medicaid spend down, it becomes harder and more financial responsibility for the family. So I was really like freaking out because I'm like, I don't know financially if I can find someone that will work with me so that I can afford to move her. But the good news is I did. And I found this out on Wednesday. They called and were like, hey, we think we can work this out. We can get started moving her. So that's really exciting. And it's also stressful because moving my mom, it's always kind of a process. But I'd say overall, it's going to be a good thing for her, for me, for everybody involved. So that's good but stressful news. We're going to do that next week. So I'm getting ready for that. And then at the same time, I'm talking to the assisted living people. The oven repair guy is over. And to make a long story short, I'm trying a new oven repair company. I really had just wanted to find out. My oven works. It's just kind of twitchy. It just doesn't always light correctly. I'm like, is it actually like safe? So I've kind of been toying with the idea of getting it replaced, which is like $800. Or, you know, is there just some easy repair we could make that would, allow it to hang on a little bit longer? So when the guy had come out before, he was like, yeah, I think it's the burner. It's about $400 to fix the burner. I'm like, I'm cool with that. Fix the burner. So yeah, he comes out with a burner and he's this really nice kid, by the way. I feel bad for this kid because now he's like in the middle of this situation, which I feel like is not all his fault. But he comes out with a burner and he's like looking at the part as he's like, he hasn't even like opened the oven yet. And he realizes, oh, I have the wrong part. This is the burner for the broiler and not for the actual oven. So I don't know why, for some reason, I still have a lot of questions about this. He takes out a drill and starts opening the oven and messing around in there, even though he doesn't have the part that he's supposed to replace. And I'm like working remotely. I'm like not really like paying that much attention to what he's doing. I'm like, oh, maybe he's just like checking something. I don't know. And anyway, then he calls me over and he's like, oh, ma'am, now your oven isn't working at all. It's not lighting. And I'm like, well, what'd you do to it? Like, it was working yesterday. You're the one that's like fucking around in there for no reason I can see. And he's like, he's like, I think it's just the igniter must have just gone out. And I'm like, well, what did you do to it? And he's like, nothing. It maybe is just bad timing. But anyway, so I'm very suspicious. I'm like, I roasted vegetables in there yesterday. And now you've been fucking around in there and it doesn't work. So anyway, so he's trying to figure out like what's wrong with it, goes through this long diagnostic process, you know, and it just becomes a shit show. He's like installing parts. He's like shutting off the electricity. This is like going on for hours. I'm like, holy balls, just go away. I think I'm just going to get a new oven at this point. But I don't know. I felt bad for this kid. I think that's part of it. I'm like, I never want to like, you know, like complain about something or make someone's job hard. I'm like that kind of person. So as it turns out, he comes up to me like I know from looking online, because he's saying to me, you really should get it repaired because it's like thousands of dollars to get a new wall oven. And I'm like, actually, I'm looking online. I could get this exact same oven here in 3 days, delivered and installed for $850. And he's like, oh. But anyway, he comes back to me at the end and he's like, it's going to be like $1,000 now to fix your oven. And he's kind of like, it's very vague. Like, he's not giving me like a list of itemized things he needs to buy or what the labor's going to cost. It's just like a number. And he's like kind of saying some things that are in that number. And I'm like, wait, wait, wait. And he's like charging me for parts that he was installing like during the diagnostic process that I didn't like, like, what do you call it? Sign off on, or he didn't even like tell me that like I was going to be like responsible for this. And I'm like, wait, wait, wait. So I don't know. To make a long story short, like I actually just could not, like, I'm like, I cannot fight about this anymore. My head is like spinning. I'm like already like dealing with this assisted living thing. And I'm like, just give me the thing. And I like paid him for half the work. And I'm like, oh, just get out of my house. I just can't do this anymore. And then like I thought about it. I woke up the next morning and I'm like, okay, no, we need to like stop this train and back everything up. So called the repair company, called the owner. And I was like, hey, I just don't have a lot of faith in the direction we're going. I'm concerned that your tech doesn't know what they're doing. I'm concerned that they are charging me for work without me signing off on it. I'm like, I'm not even sure I want to get this oven fixed at all. I'm also concerned that I think they might have broken my oven. I'm going to be really straight with you, even though they say they didn't. And like, I'm obviously to any business owner, like to me as a business owner, this would be very concerning if a customer is coming to me and saying this, and I'm being like really nice about it. I'm like, oh, I want to work this out with you if I can, but I need you to like send over a different tech, like maybe your most senior tech who can really give me like a diagnosis, can really figure out like why it suddenly stopped working, and we'll go from there. Guy, like, I'm like being so reasonable, and I'm not like expecting in any way that this guy is going to like do anything but like listen to me and be like, oh my gosh, that's very concerning. Let's work it out. No, guy like has a hissy, starts like yelling at me. He's like, oh my gosh, what did he say? He's like, all my techs are certified. And I'm like, this tech might be that's working on my oven might be certified, but I noticed that they're calling you like every 5 minutes. They don't seem to know what they're looking at. And I just don't have a lot of confidence in that they're actually making the right diagnosis and like recommending the right fix to me. And he's like, I've been doing this for 30 years. 80% of my business is repeat. And I'm like, that's great. I started to get like, not like mad and swearing, but I started to push back a little here. I'm like, I just feel like your tech has no idea what they're doing. Sorry. And I want to stop the work and have someone else look at it. And this guy just like Matt hangs up on me, but he puts me on hold and then like never comes back. And I'm like, oh my God, like what just happened? And now I've like paid $500 to this company and I have a broken oven. And so I was kind of curious what would happen. I finally just got off hold and hung up. And then like, you know, I like the next day I was like, well, they're supposed to come over and like finish it the next day. They had to go get some parts. I have not heard from them since. So yeah, I put it to the Better Business Bureau for a refund for all the money. And I'm probably going to do a chargeback if that doesn't come in the next couple of days. So welcome to my world with the oven. I'm over here with like an oven that don't work and I'm out $500. So that's wonderful. And then like right after the oven debacle, right after the tech leave, and I'm just like sitting on the couch like, oh my God, what just happened? I just paid all this money to get this dude out of my apartment. And like, then the doorbell like rings because the Amazon guy is leaving a package and I don't get up and get it. I'm just like sitting there on the couch, like kind of like just like, what the fuck just happened? And then my phone starts blowing up and it's like the building intranet. Like everyone's having a freak out because apparently when the Amazon guy left, he let in a thief who ran through the building, like stole everyone's packages and then took a shit in the stairwell. And I'm like, oh my God. So not only did I like, you know, have this problem with my oven that now needs to get fixed. My $30, like really good dermatologist recommended sunscreen got stolen by the thief. They like left a few things. They like, as they were running, they were ripping up in the packages. So if it was something the thief didn't want, they just like threw it on the ground. So a few people like just got their stuff back. But they took my sunscreen. That was one he apparently really wanted. So that's what's going on at my house. Oh my gosh, we're 12 minutes into the podcast. I hope that was at least a little bit interesting to you. And if you've had a bad day, hopefully kind of relatable. It happens to all of us, apparently. So that's what's going on here. So all that to say, my brain is really not here. My productivity is kind of in the toilet. My nervous system is a little bit frazzled. And as you can see, I'm making some mistakes and letting some things slide. This podcast is coming out on a Friday instead of the Wednesday when it usually comes out. You may have noticed I haven't really been on social much. I haven't really been posting, haven't really been marketing, haven't really been putting out content for you, mostly because my brain kind of needs a rest. But this, and also because I am kind of frazzled when I do stuff, I feel like I'm making lots of mistakes and like the stuff I'm doing is not perfect, which really bothers me because I am a huge perfectionist, which brings us to the topic 13 minutes in of this podcast for today. Let's talk about perfectionism. And I'm going to give you one of my favorite rules that really helps me as a recovering perfectionist. Sometimes I call that an imperfectionist. It just really helps me calm the fuck down and live life even when I'm not perfect. So let's talk first about perfectionism. Where does that come from? So a lot of times people who are perfectionists have beliefs like, how I feel depends on what I do. And they believe that people only value me when I am near perfect. And this one's a tough one. A mistake or a failure means that I didn't try hard enough. And let me tell you, as someone who is trying to build a business, that is a hard way to build a business when every time you fail or every time something doesn't go the way you thought, it's not like part of the process. It's because you screwed it up or you didn't try hard enough. That's like an exhausting way to build a business. And that has definitely been something I have been like working really hard to overcome over the last couple of years. So where does perfectionism come from? Usually, I think we learn it from our parents who are, in a lot of cases, if we have perfectionistic parents, they're hard on us and also on themselves. So not only are they hard on us, they kind of like model how to be hard on yourself. And in a perfectionistic family, enough is never enough. And my mom in particular, I think, is a huge perfectionist. And like the story that comes to mind, this kind of makes me laugh. I had a chore as a kid where I had to like go out and like with like hedge clippers clip around the trees and clip the tall grass where the lawnmower couldn't go. And I really like hated it because that's like where in Ohio, like where all the spiders and the bugs live. And I was kind of afraid of spiders. I'm not like overly, but I didn't like want to like go near them and interact with them in that way. So I remember just my mom like coming out to check my work. And like, she's like, you missed a spot here. I'm like, there's a spider there. I'm not going there. And she's like, it's a daddy long legs. I'm like, that is an arachnid. I am not getting near that. So yeah. And then I would just kind of like spend the whole day like clipping around the trees in the yard because I was afraid of the spiders. So that kind of like sticks in my head. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like, yeah, my perfectionistic family in a nutshell. And it was generational because I remember my mom talking about like she was come from a really like emotionally abusive family, like nasty stepfather. And she's like, I remember being like 4 years old and like being made to wash the whole family's dishes. And I had to like stand on a step stool. And then like my dad would come and like inspect like it was the military and make me wash them again. And I was like four. I didn't even like understand like why this was happening. So yeah, I'm like, I'm sure that kind of had a big influence on her. And then it kind of gets passed down through the generations. So yeah, and this shows up for me. Like what happens too is I think a lot of times in perfectionistic families, we do get affirmed for being perfect. And that can become addictive. So we get addicted to doing well in school so that we can get a pat on the head. Or we get addicted to like making the varsity team so that our parents can be proud. And it kind of gets to the point where we, instead of learning how to be proud of ourselves and evaluate like our own achievements, like in our own light, we kind of are just always striving for someone else's approval. And it just gets reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. And then we're an adult. And if you're an adult like me, I feel like perfectionism like eats up so much of my time. I see this in so many like funny ways. Like here's a really good example. Like whenever I do my floors in a room of my house, like say the living room, I have to take everything out of the living room and set it on the balcony rather than just like going around the small furniture or the things that are sitting around. I have to like set it outside so that when, if I'm taking the time to do this floor, like every inch of this floor is going to be like perfect and well cleaned. And it's occurred to me sometimes, and I've had a housekeeping service before, and I'm like, wow, they just like go around the guitar that's on a stand. They just go around the whiteboard, or maybe they like move it a little and then put it back. And I'm like, I guess that's an option. It's like way much faster than taking half an hour to like take everything outside and then another half an hour to bring it back in. But that's kind of how my mind works. I blame the hedge clipping with the spiders. It all goes back to that. Anyway, so how do we break this cycle with ourselves where we just can't stand to be not perfect or not near perfect? I'm going to share a technique that I learned from a book. The book is called The Adult Child's Guide to Being Normal or to What's Normal, authors John and Linda Friel. I've talked about this book before. I'll put a link in the show notes. This book like cracks me up. It's basically, this is the premise. It's like, you grew up in a weird family where your parents like didn't teach you what was normal. Now you get to learn like what's normal and how to like self-regulate and be functional in the world. And it's actually like such a good book. I'm like, yep, 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 yep. So recommend it. I've recommended it to so many of my friends and they have all loved it too. It is kind of a dated book. It's kind of from the 90s. I don't think they've made an updated edition since. So it's going to tell you to set boundaries by getting an answering machine and stuff like that. But I don't know. I actually was alive in the 90s. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. I remember answering machines. That was a good boundary. Now we can just like put the phone on vibrate and just like never answer, which just seems so wonderful. I'm like, wow, there was a time when we actually had to answer the phone. So let me tell you about the rule that I learned from this book. It's called the 20% mess up rule. I kind of like to think of it as the 20% fuck up rule. That just like lands for me because I kind of like to swear. But here's the rule. I'm just going to lay it out for you and then we'll talk about it. 20% fuck up rule. Everyone in my family, at work, and all my friends, they get to mess up 20% of the time without any criticism, shaming, blaming, belittling, anger, or subtle passive-aggressive words of correction. And this rule especially applies to me dealing with myself. So, what are the things that you get to fuck up 20% of the time? I'm going to give you my list of examples, and I want you actually, I think this is a really good exercise, to like really write down the areas where you're going to allow yourself to fuck up 20% of the time. I mean, technically, it's going to be all areas, but there are for all of us, I think, some areas where we really feel the need to be perfect or really notice ourselves trying to be perfect. So definitely like write those down, kind of get them down on paper, declare them, and really just kind of get intentional about them. So some things from my list, things I'm allowed to fuck up 20% of the time. I'm allowed to say bonehead things in social situations. I am a person who, like, on one hand, I think has a little bit of social anxiety, and on the other hand, doesn't have like a great filter. I'm kind of fast. I'm kind of impulsive. So I feel like this is going to happen like at least 20% of the time. I'm just going to be okay with that. Another thing I get to mess up, eating when I shouldn't. So emotional eating, like whenever I'm just like sad or bored or annoyed with something at work, eating stuff that isn't whole or raw or natural food. I kind of have that thing where I'm like, you know, kind of stringent about food sometimes and what I put in my body. And I think sometimes it gets to the point where it's very perfectionistic, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I ate like a processed thing. Like, how could I? So 20% rule gets to apply to that too. Drinking alcohol when I didn't plan to. I kind of have some rules for myself about when we drink and when we don't drink, because if I just like leave my mind unmanaged, it likes to drink. I would like drink every night and maybe drink a couple drinks. So yeah, I have like rules. I follow those most of the time. I really manage my mind around that. But 20% of the time, the rules get broken or it just doesn't go exactly as planned. And I'm just going to let that be okay. 20% of the time, I get to be late. 20% of the time, I get to spill stuff, including at dinner parties and in front of other people. 20% of the time, I get to fail. I get to not get through my to-do list. 20% of the time, I get to lead a coaching session where I feel like I'm struggling or getting off track or just kind of being kind of tired and lazy or not 100% paying attention the way I strive to with my clients. 20% of the time, I get to forget or miss my 10 minutes of writing a day that I really try to do. 20% of the time, I get to make a podcast that's kind of a dud. I hope this isn't one. 20% of the time, I get to make a weird social media post or one that offends people. And that's a tough one. I've really kind of, I don't know, decided that taking the next level in myself as a healer, as a coach, as a helping professional, is to be a little bit more vulnerable, is to talk a little bit more forcefully about what I stand for, is to call out things that I think are harmful. And yeah, I'm finding that uncomfortable. Like, yeah, I'm like, being a powerful person in the world means you're going to offend some people. And that's like a big part of my journey now. That's what I work on a lot in my own coaching and self-coaching. But yeah, 20% of the time, people just get to be offended or just have other feelings about it. 20% of the time, I get to mess up my calendar. I don't know if it's my long COVID or just if this is part of being in your 40s. I cannot keep track of my calendar, you guys. Those of you who coach with me know. I'm like, I'm going to cancel that appointment because you're on vacation or I'm on vacation. And I don't. And then there's like a million reminders that you probably get that are really annoying. And I always like, I have a couple of clients that come every other week. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is it their on week? Is it their off week? What if I move them, I forget to like make them every other week and then they're every week. So yeah, welcome to my life with my calendar. If you coach with me, it's a wonderful experience, and you may have some calendar things. You may be keeping track of it better than me in some cases. And yeah, I really try to work on that because I know, but 20% of the time, I'm just going to let there be mistakes. So that's the 20% rule. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. I got to tell you, like, extremely freeing. And as someone who is hard on myself, I'm also kind of hard on other people. I've talked about this a little bit before. Like, I don't know, I learned a while ago and kind of made a conscious decision that I don't want to be like outwardly judgy of other people. I don't want to be like criticizing. I don't want to be like telling people how to do things. I don't want to be giving advice. I don't want to be that person. But in my head, I kind of am. And so I do tend to, it is something that I'm constantly managing my mind around. And because I'm critical of other people, I'm also extremely like critical of myself. And I I've really decided that a big part of my work is like learning to not be so critical of myself, have grace for myself so that I can have grace for other people. And this 20% rule has just like really helped with that. I just feel like so much more like calm about everything and secure in who I am and just not needing to feel like better than someone else, which used to be the drama that played in my head a lot. Anyway, so that's the 20% rule. I'm going to add a corollary to the 20% rule, and it's a great week to talk about this because this is in effect for me right now as I record this podcast. This is the 60% rule, the sometimes 60% rule. 20% is in effect at all times. Everybody gets to mess up 20% of the time without and get grace for it, including yourself. But when life is really, really hectic, and this is important, it's hectic due to temporary circumstances. It's not because you are just like failing to manage yourself and manage your life. It's just because there is something unusual going on that is really intense for you for whatever reason. So moving my mom, realizing I have this consumer dispute where I'm out $500. I did like get my package replaced from Amazon, which was kind of nice. So that part's done. But yeah, my nervous system just feels like really, really like jangled up this week in a way that it doesn't normally. So when that happens, the 60% rule is in effect, which is essentially the 20% rule. But now you really get to like mess up 60% of the time. And because of that, what you really want to do, in addition to giving yourself 60% grace, three times as much grace as you normally would, you're also going to really kind of come back to the essentials. Like really looking at, you know, while I'm working through this, while this is a circumstance in my life, what is really important and what is not? And here's a hint. Your priorities really should be emotional and physical well-being of yourself, of the people you care about, of your kids, of your family. That really should be the priority. If you're noticing that you're prioritizing paying the bills and cleaning the house and doing all your marketing over your own mental and physical health whenever your body and mind are under a lot of strain, stop and get your priorities straight. That is just not going to work out well for you to neglect your nervous system when your nervous system is already under so much strain. Another bonus tip I'll give for you, when the 60% rule is in effect, and this is something I am reminding myself of right now, is that it's really important to move slowly. This is actually a cognitive strategy that they teach people with long COVID that have brain fog, and I think like brain injury and other kinds of cognitive impairments. Whenever you are under strain is the time you are most likely to do something where you're going to get hurt, where you're going to mess something up, where you're going to make a mistake that is costly. So really just slow down. Give yourself some time. Give yourself some spaciousness. A really good example of this, when I was just going through some pretty heavy like COVID symptoms and brain fog, I was just and just the symptoms themselves are kind of distressing. I'm like, why the fuck is this happening? I was going out to drive my car and go to the grocery store and pick up my groceries. And I completely didn't realize that there was a different car parked next to me instead of the Jeep that it normally was. It was a 4Runner, which is much longer. So I just like pulled out, like looking in my backup cam without looking at the front of the car, and just like clipped the back of the Jeep. And that was a situation where if I had really been noticing, wow, I'm under a lot of strain, like today is just hard, 60% rule is in effect, I'm just gonna try to do everything like twice as slow. Really, you know, be a little bit like more observant and just knowing in the back of my mind that it is easy to, you know, get hurt, make costly mistakes in this phase. So I'm going to slow everything down. So I love that strategy too. I definitely like recommend that. You can just like make that go along with the 60% rule. 60% rule is three times as much grace when things are really, really hard, and doing everything like three times as slow. Maybe we can do it like that. So friends, I hope this was helpful. I hope that all my perfectionists out there are taking notes, and yeah, just like realizing that really the way to be functional in life is not to be perfect. It's not to be near perfect. It's to accept that you're always going to be kind of imperfect, and to just really kind of work that into your mindset, work that into your strategy, allow that, let that be fine, let that be the way it's supposed to be. You can still get there. You can still get what you want. You can still achieve your goals. You can still live your dream life, even if you are really imperfect. And let's face it, most of us, all of us, who am I kidding, are. All right, friends, I hope that was helpful. I will talk to you soon and have a great weekend. See you here next week.